Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
James Rapine joining us today. Hello, James.
Hey, guys. Ken, I hope you were dancing there. I hope you were dancing to the music.
I like to dance to my polka music. You don't know me, man. Don't you tell me that. I got a question for you before we get going with some other really strong Indian stuff. We had a bit of a debate earlier this morning about the people who do the Ric Flair woo at the Indians game.
Yeah.
Have you caught that?
Yeah,
Do they do that in Cincinnati as well?
Yeah, it's even bigger and worse and louder and more annoying in Cincinnati.
All right, then I actually like it. I like it, but I thought it was I liked it partially because it was a Cleveland thing. If this is going to be all over the place, then I don't want it. Don't do it.
Yeah, it started a couple of years ago in Cincinnati, and it ran its course there, and so I'm already annoyed with it. So I hope it kind of dies here quickly. I'll be honest with you.
I think it's
stay. Awful.
I think it'll probably stay for a while, especially since we keep talking about it. James Rapine joining us on the show, Indians Beat Reporter, brought to you by WOW Internet TV and Phone. There were some people who were upset with Terry Francona and his handling of the relief pitching between Game 1 and Game 2 back on Saturday. Where did you stand on things? How do you think he played it?
I actually agreed with you. I think he played it right. First off, you don't know what's going to happen in that second game. And if you're saying, well, he should have saved closer Brad Hand because in the ninth they were up four and you don't know who you can trust. Well, it was the exact same situation in game one. They were up four and he went with his closer because he needed to get him work, by the way. He hadn't thrown since Tuesday. So it just made a ton of sense. Why not get the guaranteed win, essentially? They go with the guy you trust the most and then worry about game two when game two happens. I mean, imagine this. I mean, because Hand needed to pitch on Saturday. If they had been down 7-0 in the second game and had no need for the closer, and yet he needed to get some work in and he saved him in that first game, it makes sense to lock up game one. I get it. In hindsight, it's easy to say, oh, well, you should have saved him. But he didn't know what was going to happen in that second game, so I totally understand why he went with Hand in game one.
James Rapine, our Indians beat reporter, joining us on the hotline. Obviously unfortunate the way that you end up splitting that doubleheader, and then yesterday you're never even really in that game because your starter just did not have it. So overall, I mean, you're about 20 games through the season. How do you evaluate this Indians team considering the injury to Clevinger? Obviously, you don't have the injuries the Yankees have, but you do have some issues.
Yeah, no doubt you have some issues. I think if I was ranking what concerns me the most, and it's really been this way all season long, because you knew you were getting Francisco Lindor back. You knew that Carlos Gonzalez, Jason Kipnis, they might have something to offer when they got back. And obviously they're in the lineup and we're in the lineup over the weekend. The bullpen. The bullpen is what concerns me most. We saw it Saturday. And certainly it's one of those things outside of Brad Hand. Nick Whitgren's been good, but no one really knows who Nick Whitgren is, right? He hasn't allowed a run yet in four outings this year. That being said, they need some of these guys to emerge. I think Tyler Clippard in the minor leagues at some point, he's getting close to ready. Once he gets going and shows what he can do, I think he'll be up here with the big league club. But you need that bullpen to stabilize itself. And while it was going well, it showed up, and their weaknesses showed up on Saturday night. And you can't have too many of those games where you lose because the bullpen fails you. So I think that's the biggest concern moving forward. We saw it over the weekend. And hopefully it's just a matter of getting it correct. I mean, Adam Simber was fine this year and kind of had turned things around. And then he struggled. Hopefully that's just an outlier and that's not what we expect from him moving forward.
Yeah, Nick Whitgren looks like he's going to rob a convenience store and hand me my mixtape while I'm doing it.
Hey, he's a good pitcher, though.
He's a good pitcher. I don't care. That's fine.
We'll take your mixtape and throw strikes.
Yeah, there you go. So I'm fine with it. I'm just pointing it out that he's a scary kind of looking guy. James Rapine joining us on the show. Does Francisco Lindor look like he's limping around the base a little bit?
Yeah, he's not 100%.
Why is he playing then?
Because, one, I think that they probably looked at it with – the brace that he wears, and it's clear he has a brace on with the tape that they can put on him and everything, that he's probably not going to re-injure it, and he's going to play it safe, and he's not going to cut sharply. He scored a run in game two on Saturday night, and it was his debut, right? He singles, and then he scores from second, and he doesn't stop right away at the plate or right after the plate. He kind of hops. I don't know if you guys saw that video, and I think he was doing that to prevent putting any pressure on that ankle. Clearly not 100%, but I think the doctors evaluated him and said, all right, if we put this device on his ankle, he'll be able to play and probably not re-injured or anything like that. I don't think they would risk it. I think he's probably 80% or so, and the brace probably doesn't help with that limp or whatever it is that when he's running, it's probably awkward for him. But he said it's not an excuse. He had an error yesterday, obviously a home run as well. He said it's not an excuse, and he's going to give it everything he's got. So, yeah, they're rolling with it. He will DH some, though, too. So it's not like he's going to play shortstop the whole time.
What was the score when he hit that home run, though?
It was 11 to nothing when he hit that home run.
Was that a garbage time home run?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I see what you're – interesting.
Of course you see what I'm driving.
Yeah, 11 nothing. That is garbage time. 11-0 is. I know there, in baseball, there are sometimes you could come back. There are very few times that there are 11-0 turnarounds where you can come back and win the game.
Although I'll tell you yesterday, James, and I appreciate you backing me up and once and for all telling Ken he's an idiot with that argument.
I was not an idiot because, again, there was 7-0 after the second inning on Saturday, so I can't say that that's garbage time,
still,
now can I?
Still very early in the game, though. I will tell you, I thought the Indians had a chance yesterday against Josh Tomlin late. I thought that game was still very much in play because of that. James Rapine joining us on the hotline. All right, Corey Kluber in his last start did get the victory in his decision. His ERA did go down. However, he still gave up 5 hits in 7 innings, gave up 4 earned runs, walked a couple, did strike out 8. What did you think of that performance? Was that a step in the right direction, or are you still a little nervous about him early in the year?
I think it was a step in the right direction, and the thing that stood out to me most is he didn't have his control early. He clearly wasn't on. He had 2 walks in the first inning, allowed a run, and still somehow managed to recover from that. In the middle part, I think it was the 3rd through the 6th inning, retired 11 straight batters. So he got into a groove, and he responded, even though he wasn't rolling from the start. And I think that was a good sign. Obviously, the 2 solo home runs he allowed in the 7th inning, I wrote, kind of put a damper on things, because otherwise, if you see Kluber go 7, allows 2 runs, that's great. Instead, you know, it gets the win. Instead, he allows 4 runs with those 2 solo shots. But still, I think it was a step in the right direction. And that's what you're going to see. I know Carlos Carrasco had such a great bounce-back game, but I think Kluber's still ramping it up. He's getting closer, and he certainly showed signs of improving and being the guy that we all expect him to be.
James Rapine, join us on the hotline. As you look forward here to where this team is, Marlins, you've got a matchup now. I don't know exactly where I put this Indians team. There's obvious question marks right now. It's so early in the year. I mean, we are talking about April baseball, and you're right up there. What, Minnesota Twins are right there hovering around first place with you. Any definitive conclusions, anything? They say you don't really want to react to anything until about 40 games. We're only halfway there.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything definitive that you can say. I do think it's going to be interesting to see how this team does evolve now. I know Lindor isn't 100%, but he's healthy enough to play. He's in the lineup. Jose Ramirez is starting to show some signs of getting out of his slump. But your lineup is pretty much what it is now. There's no other guys that you're waiting for to get healthy or to come up or to get ready to play. So I think it will be interesting to see how, one, Terry Francona uses the lineup, how he plays with it. Jose Ramirez was hitting 3rd with Lindor leading off. Does that stay the same? Does Leonis Martins stay in the 2nd spot? And how does this order, how does this lineup evolve? How do they perform now that they're basically at full strength? I think that's going to be really interesting to see over the next couple of weeks. And I think with Lindor, and I know he had the home run yesterday, it's going to take him some time. You know, he's not going to just – he hasn't faced major league pitching since last year in the playoffs. So it's going to take him some time to ramp up and get back to what he is and get back to that MVP caliber level. But I'm really interested in seeing how this lineup with Cargo, with Kipnis, with Lindor, how they look over the next few weeks.
I got to admit to you, James, man, I'm worried about that. I honestly think that he's limping around the bases, and I'm like, why are we forcing this? I don't want to force it. They have a bit of a history with this type of thing with players in the past. We went down that with Brantley some years ago, and I don't want to do that here. I want to make sure that he's healthy. And before it was, well, we could wait until May, and then all of a sudden he's up this weekend, and it causes me to have some concern, James. I don't like it.
That's fair. It is. It's going to be, and here's why, is if he gets injured, right, he's still, I would still say, it's safe to say he's still hurt. I bet his ankle still hurts.
Yes.
After games and after running and stuff like that. Because ankle sprains, especially high ankle sprain, it takes a while. But if he gets injured again, then it's going to be, what the hell are you guys doing? You guys were in first place going into the weekend, and you activate him. Why would you activate him when you were holding your head above water? You were treading water without him. So
yeah.
I totally get it.
It's not football.
It feels risky, but why would they risk it? They know it's a long season. They're smart, right? Why? It can't be worth the risk if they think he's going to re-injure it. So I see both sides to it, because I don't know why they would do it. It's common sense not to.
It's not like it's one day a week and you can play one day a week and you can rest it for six and try to get by with that. Like, you got to have him every day. And if he's not there every day, there's going to be a problem. And honestly, I'd rather wait a few more days to get him back if he's going to be limping around the base paths like he was in Columbus and like he was just last night.
Yeah, I get it. And there's a couple times where I thought that he was going to be in a bang-bang play at first over the weekend. And that's the last thing you want, is him really sprinting and putting pressure. And his straight line speed's probably fine. It's when you cut or you round the bases and stuff, and he's just worried about that. But I agree with you to an extent. I mean, you don't want to risk it. I just think the Indians, they know that too. They can't not know that, and they probably just feel like he's going to be able to be okay with that bulky brace. I mean, that brace looks insane, honestly. It's like half of a cast that he takes off of his ankle. So it should give him plenty of support.
James, we thank you very much, friend. All the best to you and yours. We'll talk to you again very soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.